Well, here we are. The Advent journey is just about done. The fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love. And it seems odd in some ways that why would we take time to have a Sunday set aside for love and Christmas? What else is Christmas about if it isn't about love? And that's true. It is about love. The songs we sing, even the secular ones, are often about how much we care about each other and being with people that we love, and that's a wonderful thing. But I think there's value in taking the time to look at what we already know, as I've said before, not because we're suddenly going to be surprised about things we've never thought of before, but because sometimes we'll think about them in slightly different ways. And there's always value in that. And so I think it makes a lot of sense that we have a Sunday set aside just to think about love in this time that really there's more love at this time of year, I think, than any other time of the year, even including Valentine's Day, because this is the time of year that even people who have no particular reason to seem to work a little bit harder at being more favorably inclined to the people that they run into just by chance. And we often expand our acts of care beyond our immediate circle at this time of year, and that's a good thing. Full stop, it's just a good thing, and I'm glad it happened. But as I was thinking about where these texts are taking us this Sunday, the thing that came to me as much as anything was these texts give us a picture of love that perhaps we might not have seen before. And that's where the sermon title comes from. So that's love. And when I put it that way, I'm not saying that we have now seen the one and only view or the one and only picture of love, but it's one that perhaps we haven't thought of quite this way before, or one that perhaps we simply need to be reminded of. And it begins, at least for me, in our Hebrews passage, which is kind of, well, not peculiar, but it's sort of odd in some ways. But as I was reading this, what struck me was what actually happens with Jesus. And what we see here, the writer of Hebrews, making sure that we don't lose this. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but we know who it was written to. And it was written to people coming out of a Jewish faith who had moved into this relationship with God through Jesus now, and they were trying to figure out how this all worked. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that there was a time when you needed to do sacrifices so that you might be sufficiently holy to approach a holy God. And that was important because God, being utterly, ineffably holy, couldn't stand to be in that presence or in that relationship with people who weren't sufficiently holy to be there. And the only way to make that happen was through sacrifices for the longest time. And the sacrifice then loaned you some holiness, if you will, for a period of time. And you would bring your sacrifice to the priest, and they would make that sacrifice, and then you would be holy, you could be in that relationship with God until such time as you were then profaned, you lost that holiness, you came in contact with a dead body or whatever it might have been. Read Leviticus if you want to know exactly how many ways you could lose holiness, and there are a lot. I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. Not just because, as I was telling the people at Knox, if I'm the closest thing we have to a priest, that means that I would be the one who took your pigeon every Sunday and pulled it in half or whatever I had to do, and that's just not something I'm really interested in doing. But the writer of Hebrews says, it reminds us that sacrifices were never really what God wanted, even though they were the law. It says that he, that's Jesus, sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We're not borrowing holiness anymore. The sacrifice of an animal, flawless as it could be, that imparted holiness to us for a period of time, we don't need to do that anymore, because with the actual perfect sacrifice of Jesus himself, we are made holy. We don't have holiness painted on us anymore that wears off. We are made holy. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't still need to come before God in confession, of course, which is why we do it every Sunday. and why we as individuals do it on a regular basis between Sundays. But there's been a fundamental change in who we are now. Our relationship with God is now through Jesus, not through the sacrificial system. And as such, we don't have to keep doing those things over and over again because Christ's sacrifice was sufficient once for all. But how is that love? Well, it goes back to what I was telling the children. There's something about doing what someone needs you to do before they even ask that demonstrates love in a different way. There's nothing wrong with waiting to be asked. We can't read minds. We don't always know what our loved ones need. And when they ask us for things and we do it, that's also certainly a sign of love. But isn't it extraordinary when someone knows you well enough, knows your situation well enough, knows all about you enough, that they can do what they can do for you before you even ask? Not only is whatever you needed done, which is wonderful in and of itself, but that sense of they cared enough to know makes it even better. Strengthens the relationship, makes us love them even more. It's amazing how that works. And we can do it now and then as people, particularly when we've been in relationship with people for a long time, our family members, spouses, long-term friends. But God can do it perfectly, and he did. The Jewish people had a sacrificial system that worked for them, because it did. It brought them into relationship with God. And there are certainly hints in the Old Testament in many, many places that at some point this wouldn't be necessary anymore. But when you look at how badly people misunderstood why Jesus was here, it's easy to see that it wasn't as clear as it might have been exactly what was needed. But God knew what was needed. He knew that we needed a perfect sacrifice. And he provided that perfect sacrifice before we even thought to ask for it, because he loved us. And what makes it even more extraordinary is that God, through the mystery of the Trinity, that three in one, while remaining separate but being one that we'll never fully understand, didn't just provide the sacrifice, but was the sacrifice that we needed, the one thing that we could never provide for ourselves and that only God could provide for us. He did. Because he loved us. That's love. The incarnation, Christ coming to earth as a baby, is love. And there's even more to it than that, because not only did Christ come as a baby to live a life into adulthood so that we would have someone who understands exactly what it means to be human from the inside in a way that we can also understand. But Jesus also came to be that sacrifice right from the very beginning. There was never a time when Jesus wasn't going to be that sacrifice. There wasn't a plan B. It wasn't really a plan A. There was just a plan. And that's what it was. And it was to provide what it was that we needed to have the full relationship with God that we have now through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, because we're loved. And on this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, where we've lit the love candle, it's especially appropriate that we will also celebrate Holy Communion, because that's the culmination of this. Not just a symbol of love, but the reality of God's love for us was that he came, he lived, he died, and he rose again. And we remember that love, that willingness to sacrifice everything for us when we celebrate communion. So yes, in Hebrews, where we read that we won't need sacrifices anymore, that's love, but so is this table. The demonstration that God loved us so much, there was no limits to which he would not go. Communion is another picture, another way for us to think of how much we are loved. And in this season where our hearts overflow so easily and so frequently, I hope, to those we know and even to strangers, it's good to be reminded that God loved us before we had any idea we needed loving. And solved a problem we barely even knew existed with a solution we could never have imagined. by sending his son.
So that's love.
Amen.